We are looking in the 20th chapter of Exodus today. This is the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me any gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it up of hewn stone, for it shall lift up thy tool. Thou shalt lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps into mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. He starts by saying, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God. You know, there was many different gods worshipped by the Israelites. They kept going and worshipping other gods, and he reminds them, I am the Lord thy God. And he also reminds them that he's the one that brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He's the only one that can bring us out of the house of bondage. We cannot bring ourselves out of the house of bondage, regardless of what we attempt to do with our lives. Apart from the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, we will continue in our sins, and God will continue to not shine His grace upon us. But if we are one of His sheep, He has called us before the foundation of the world, and He will bring us out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We already mentioned that the Israelites had gone away and worshipped other gods. We know that they set up a golden calf when Moses was gone up into the mount, and they were worshipping this golden calf. In our society today, we see that many people are worshiping other gods. They're not worshiping the one true God. They're worshiping a god of their own imagination. most of the Arminian churches are worshiping the God of free will. They're worshiping another God. They're not worshiping a God that can save to the uttermost. They're not worshiping a God that has paid it all. They are worshiping a God that is a cooperative agent that has to do something of themselves. They're not giving God all the glory and salvation in His perfect sacrifice for sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven. I just recently viewed a DVD, and I was it was put out by a group of people that call themselves Reformed apologetics, and it was full of graven images, likenesses of Christ, in showing, you would talk about Jesus Christ said, and then it would show a picture of Christ, or I guess who was supposed to be Christ. And all the way through this DVD was graven images. He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The very DVD that was proclaiming the law, that we should use the law of God to evangelize, was breaking the law in the DVD by having graven images in the DVD. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Remember when Moses went up in the mount and he came down, the people couldn't even look on Moses' face because he had been with God. His face shone brighter than the sun. And so, you know, when we make images, we put pictures up of Jesus Christ, you know, that's not Jesus Christ. That's not God. If that were God, we couldn't stand to be in the presence of God. So it's a rendition of what man thinks God is. Thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because if you will love me, you will keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How many people... you know, I was just recently, I stopped to help a man try to start his truck. I don't know, I think the fuel pump went in on it, so I was going to give him, I've given him a jump trying to get his truck started. And everything that he came out of his mouth was blasphemy against God. He was damning God. Okay, well, how is God going to honor that? You know, I made that visit very short. I didn't want to be around that person that was taking God's name in vain. And it's not just cursing at God. We take God's name in vain in a lot of different ways. We use it very lightly many times. How many times a day do we hear people saying, you know, oh God, and invoking His name, or oh my God, not speaking about God in a reverential sort of way, but just in a more of a trying to use God's name as an exclamation point when they're trying to get people's attention. And he says he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Also, people are taking God's name in vain by denying his word. They're taking his name in vain when they're taking on free will. Have you ever thought about that? How are they taking his name in vain when they're upholding free will doctrine? Well, they're taking his name in vain because they're denying the only Lord God that has bought his people and taking on another gospel. And so, anyone who is denying God's word, okay, they're taking his name in vain when they say, I don't go along with that passage of scripture. I don't go along with that. I believe this. It's not important what we believe. It's important what the Bible says, and to subscribe to what the Bible says. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, why did Christ say through the Apostle John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? Why did he say that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, it's amazing to me. I remember as a kid growing up how that unless you were a doctor or a nurse or an ambulance driver or a paramedic or something like that, people just didn't work on the Sabbath. Very rarely. But now in our society, it's just another day. It's just another day. He says, 6 days thou shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. You know, farmers back then weren't working on the Sabbath day. You know, I've heard so many people say, well, I got to get the ox out of the ditch today as a justification for working on the Sabbath. But here he says that you're to not do any labor or work on the Sabbath. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God is the one that has given us our parents. They may not have been who we would have chosen for parents, okay? But God has given us our parents, and we are to honor them. We may disagree with them. Now, we are not to go along with things that our father, our mothers are teaching us that is in violation to God's word. But we are still to give honor to our father and our mother. And in their old age, when they become unable to take care of themselves, we are to do everything we can to take care of them and honor them. And this is one of the commandments with promise. If we honor our father and our mother, our days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. You know, our court systems today are made up. It's all based on money. If you have enough money, you can get out of murder. You can walk away scot-free. Like certain people have done, I'm not going to mention any names. but they'll spend millions and millions of dollars on high dollar attorneys, and all the evidence shows that they have killed and murdered, and they get off the hook. God hates murder. We see that when David had Uriah murdered, that there was a great judgment upon David. And he suffered the wrath of God because of his murdering Uriah the Hittite. And we find that, but you know, there's a consolation that regardless, you know, David did find repentance. God granted David repentance over the sin of murder. But God hates murder. And he says, if you hate your brother in your heart, that's the same as killing your brother. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, look at our society. It's full of adultery. People don't even realize that they are in the midst of adultery. They don't even realize that when they go out and they commit these things, that God abhors it. I've heard so many different people talk about why they have divorced a spouse, and some of those reasons. I mean, there are certain people that would not even give you justification for divorce or fornication, but it does appear that Christ says except for fornication. But so many people get divorced where fornication has nothing to do with it. We just grew apart. We became incompatible. We no longer love each other. You know, we don't have the same interests anymore. He's not a good financial manager. That's why I left him. He's not a good financial manager. She's not a good housekeeper. He's lazy. She won't go to my church. You know, so many different reasons why people get divorced, and then they go out and remarry someone else that is compatible. Well, that is committing adultery. That's what that is. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, don't go around lying on people. Have your evidence. If you're going to make a charge against a situation, make sure that you're truth-telling about the situation. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. This was the commandment that slew Paul. He said, I would have not known the law had I not known thou shalt not covet. How many of us in different kinds of ways covet? Keeping up with the Joneses. Well, they've got 5 acres. I should have 5 acres. They have a horse. They have a couple horses and a horse trailer. I want a horse trailer. Well, they have a fountain out in front of their house. I want to go get a fountain. Look at their landscaping. I would like to have landscaping like they have. I mean, they drive a SUV. I should have an SUV. Look, he's wearing $200-$300 suits. I should go out and have suits like that. In other words, because of what our neighbor has, we covet or want the same thing. It's not even wanting. He says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that's thy neighbor's. Well, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. You know, where is the fear of God today? Do we fear God? When we hear the thunder and the lightning and the winds, and the rain, and there's tornadic activity going on. Is there something in your heart that says God is awesome? God is powerful. Well, here God showed His awesomeness to the people. We see that He had thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And why did He give them this display of His power? Well, Moses said, God has come to prove you that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Or do we have fear of God, that we sin not? Do we have an awesome respect for God and His law? Remind ourselves often of His commandments to us, that we are not to make idols, engraven images, and bow down before them? Catholic Church is full of idols, engraven images. And now the evangelical community is trying to say that the Catholic Church is one of us. Well, the Catholic Church isn't one of me. They're not part of my body. You know, because they are absolutely in violation to the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water. Thou shalt not bow down to them. Statues of Mary all over the world, people are worshiping. What about the little rosary beads hanging on the mirrors in the cars? Those are graven images. They're bowing down. They're saying the rosary. Some people make images out of commentaries. They put commentaries over the Bible. You know, I know some people that put more emphasis on John Gill than Jesus Christ. Now, I think John Gill's a fine man and has great commentaries, but if we start putting more emphasis on John Gill or Charles Spurgeon or John Calvin than we do Jesus Christ, then we are not worshiping God, we're worshiping man. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under thee. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Okay, He's jealous. He wants our worship. We're not to worship men. We're not to worship the doctrines of men. We're to worship Jesus Christ. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Father, we pray that you would help us to remember your law is perfect, converting the soul. Help us to remember that Jesus Christ is the only one that can keep your law perfectly. Help us to also remember that we were born and conceived in sin and that we were spiritually dead. And that you're the only one that can bring us spiritual life, and that You're the only one that can grant us forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ if we're one of your sheep. We pray that you would help us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Help us to realize that your word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And help us to realize that we are to fear and reverence and hold you in great respect, and realizing that you are awesome in your power and glory and majesty. And help us to commune with your Son. We know that your Son is the only mediator between God and man, and he's the only one that kept the law perfectly and paid a perfect sacrifice for his people. Help us to look on these things. Help us to, only by your grace can we walk in your commandments. And we know that we falter and fail each day in that, but we can look to the Son who has kept the law perfectly, and we have taken on his righteousness. You said you would not impute our sins unto us, but we have the imputed righteousness of Christ. And we pray that you would help us with these things. Help us to honor and respect your law, and honor and respect your Son, and grant unto us forgiveness for our sin. We know you paid for our sin, our past, our present, and all of our future sins, if we are one of your children. And help us to proclaim these great tidings of good news to all of those for whom you've died for. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.